Can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow in Israel is a celebration, and a lot of people aren't familiar with this. It's called Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Yerushalayim. It's Jerusalem Day. And what is this day, Jerusalem Day? Well, back in 1967, during what's known as the Six-Day War, I don't know if anybody remember that, where Israel fought against a number of enemies that were all around it, surrounding it, threatening to invade. And God gave Israel a tremendous victory. And on that day, and this was actually in June 1967, where the Six-Day War took place. And the Jewish people, the Israeli army, was able to break through into Jerusalem, the area that was controlled by Jordan. And for the first time in 2,000 years, the Jewish people had access once again to what's known as the Kotel, or the Western Wall, and some people call the Wailing Wall, because that's where people go to and they cry and they wail and they put their prayers in the little cracks that are in the walls. So for the first time in 2,000 years, the Jewish people had access to this most holiest place to the Jewish people. And on that monumentous occasion, Rabbi Shlomo Gorin, while he was at the wall, he blew the shofar. And it was the first time the shofar had been blown in this temple wall area, the Kotel, in more than 2,000 years. And that blowing of the shofar spoke of how God was bringing his people, the Jewish people, back from the north and the south and the east and the west. It was a prophetic call of the shofar. And tomorrow commemorates 49 years ago where the Jewish people had access to the Kotel, the Western Wall, after thousands of years. Of course, next year, going to be a jubilee, so there's going to be a big celebration in Israel. Now, what is the importance of Jerusalem? Some people say, well, Jerusalem is just a city. Why are the Jewish people so concerned all the time about Jerusalem? What is so important of Jerusalem? Three times a day, the Jewish people pray toward Jerusalem. When we do the Shema, we face toward Jerusalem. Three times a day during the different times, prayer, the morning prayers, the afternoon prayers, the evening prayers, the Jewish people pray toward Jerusalem. During Passover, we say, L'shana haba'ah b'Yerushalayim. Next year in Jerusalem. It's the prayer that next year we can celebrate this. So next year we'll be in Jerusalem. The Jewish people to Jerusalem, or to the Jewish people, Jerusalem is of utmost importance. You know, there's many reasons why Jerusalem matters, and this is not even my teaching, by the way, but I'm mentioning this, but I'm going to be talking related to this. You know, Yeshua considered Jerusalem important. He called it the city of the great king. We see that in Psalm 48:2, but also in Matthew 5:35, that this is the city of the great king. It's a place where Yeshua died, was crucified, he was buried, and he was resurrected. And it's where he ascended to heaven, was Jerusalem. It was the birthplace of what's known as the Kehilat Mashiach, or the body of the Messiah, was born, or the, you may call it the church, but it took place, it was born there in Jerusalem. And it's really the focal point of all end time prophecy and events, as we're going to see all the nations attack Israel and attack Jerusalem, and then we're going to see the third temple rebuilt and all those things. It's really such an important place for the Jewish people. In fact, a famous analogy or story about this sums up the sentiment of many Jews, where it says that Jerusalem is comparing it to the body, or our body, says, as the navel is set in the center of the human body, so the land of Israel, the navel of the world. As Jerusalem is the center of the land of Israel, so is the sanctuary in the center of Jerusalem. As the holy place is in the center of the sanctuary, and the ark is in the center of the holy place, and the foundation stone is before the holy place, so from it the world was founded. Very important. And we're commanded in Scripture, in Psalm 122, that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. There's many reasons why, and I actually have 25 reasons here why Jerusalem matters. But I'm not going to go into all of these. But the reason I mention this in relation to Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, is because it's important for us, as well as the whole body of Messiah, to be supportive of the land of Israel, supportive of the Jewish people. Because if you believe in eschatology, the study of the end times and things that are going to take place, it's all involves and it's all wrapped around Israel, the Jewish people, Jerusalem. And as much as a lot of the church has separated itself from the Jewish people and from Israel, even some denominations are boycotting Israel, and part of the BDS movement, the boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. Some denominations, the Methodist Church and others, have separated themselves from Israel. You can't deny the fact that end times events are going to revolve around Israel and the Jewish people. Doesn't matter what church denominations say. It doesn't matter what pastors or preachers or priests might say from their pulpits in the front. It doesn't matter, because the reality is, like it or not, the Jewish people and Israel are the end times. A lot of what's going to take place in the end times are going to revolve around it. So I'm saying, why is it important for us to be supportive of Israel? Why is it important for us? Now, the Jewish people are called the apple of God's eye in Zechariah 2:8. The Lord uses this term of endearment for no other nation on the earth except Israel. Israel is a land about which God says uniquely and prophetically and redemptively and repeatedly in the Bible, He says, "This is mine. Israel is mine." God speaks of repeatedly. God refers to Israel as He does no other land on the earth. Israel was raised up to be a light to all the other nations and all the other peoples. Without a doubt, the Lord has never abandoned His original covenant people. Like it or not, God has not abandoned Israel, His covenant people. And He continues to have a plan and a purpose for them, for His name's sake. We as God's people need to stand with Israel. And especially as I said, Yom Yerushalayim takes place tomorrow. We recall what God did for the Jewish people, reuniting them with their city, their ancient temple area. We need to stand with the Jewish people and show Israel, we have not abandoned her, that we still pray for you. As the Scripture tells us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to boldly proclaim the words from Isaiah 62, verse 1, that says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep quiet. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a blazing torch." You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give no rest till He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of all the earth. Now the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant of Scripture, is described in only one place in the Tanakh, or you can call it the Old Testament, but it's the Tanakh. To me, it's not old. It's fresh. It's as new as ever. It's alive. It's not old. And this new covenant is mentioned only one place, in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 4. But notice the outstanding promise made to Israel immediately following this proclamation. It says in Jeremiah 31, verse 35 through 37, "This is what the Lord says." I'm not saying this, okay? This is what the Lord says. "He who appoints the sun to shine by day, He who declares or decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is His name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me." This is what the Lord says. "Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because all they have done, declares the Lord." Now we know that the sun is shining. I can see it actually right now. I can see the sun is shining out there. And last night I saw the moon. It was still there. It hadn't disappeared. These things and the stars. Anyone see any stars last night? Okay. Well, the moon, the sun, the stars are still there. So the Lord said, only if these things disappear will He forsake, or will the Jewish people no longer exist. So this speaks of God's eternal covenant and plan for Israel and the Jewish people. But I want to give you seven reasons here why the genuine believer in the Messiah Yeshua, anyone here a genuine believer in the Messiah Yeshua? Okay, you got some genuine believers here. Okay. And those who didn't raise your hands, I'll pray for you. But there's a list here of seven reasons why the genuine believer in Yeshua should love and support the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jewish people. Now, I'm not here today to uplift or say the greatest people in the world and all these things. I'm just saying this is what God's Word says and why it's important for us to do this. Number one, self-interest. The Lord spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, this same statement is made concerning Abraham's descendants. We see that in Genesis 26, verses 3 and 4, and 27, 29, and chapter 28, verses 13 through 15. Now, this is a mysterious fact of Scripture here that must be accepted by faith. Blessing Abraham and his descendants honors the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a fact. Blessing the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob honors God. And moreover, we're commanded, as I said earlier, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and are told that we shall prosper if we do so. Scriptures tell us, "I will bless those who bless them, I will curse those who curse them, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through them." So if you really want to walk in the blessings of God, then you should follow His word and bless the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as you do, God will bless you as well. But I know also, as the scriptures say, if you curse them, God will do the same. God will curse. And we see how God has blessed the Jewish people, a very small group. You know, Jewish people are, if you look at the population of the world, what's the population now? It's got to be over 6-7 billion. Lloyd, you're something in that range. And right now, there's about 13 million Jewish people in the world. So 13 million people compared to 6 or 7 billion, it's probably like 0.1% or something of the population of the world is Jewish people, or are Jewish people. Yet God has taken this small little remnant of the earth and has blessed them with some of the greatest inventions, discoveries, Nobel Prizes. Hollywood is full of actors and actresses, producers, directors. I mean, the proportion of Jewish people who have been successful and God is blessed, it just doesn't make sense. It's a God thing. That's all you can say, it's a God thing. But God will bless those who bless. Also, the nature of the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is an everlasting covenant. It's called the Brit Olam. And it's an unconditional covenant in nature. It is not, as supposed by some, conditioned upon obedience to the terms that were given on Mount Sinai, which we commemorate next week during Shavuot, the giving of the commandments at Mount Sinai, and also the giving of the Spirit that took place on Pentecost. And why doesn't it depend on those covenants or those commandments given on Mount Sinai? It's because the Abrahamic covenant precedes that covenant by over 400 years. God made His covenant with the Jewish people before they ever went into Egypt, before they stayed there for all those years, before they traveled the 50 days to Mount Sinai to receive the commandments on the mountain. God had made a covenant with the Jewish people, and it's an everlasting covenant. Moreover, the covenant made with Abraham was in response to his faith and initiated solely by the grace of God. And we see that spoken about in Romans chapter 4 in the Brit Chadashah. Now, the example of Yeshua and the first disciples and Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, the good news message itself says in Romans 1:16, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And it speaks of a new covenant made with the lost sheep of the house of Israel in Matthew 10:6. Yeshua himself focused on reaching the Jewish people with the message of Geulah, or redemption, and had his followers focus their missionary activities on reaching the Jewish people. We see that in Matthew 10:5. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, never disavowed his Jewish ancestry. There's people who say that the Apostle Paul, a lot of unsaved Jewish people, say that he is the inventor of Christianity and turned the Jewish people away from God, and he was a traitor and all of this thing. A lot of bad stuff spoken about Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. He never disavowed his Jewish ancestry. And he was burdened for the salvation of Israel throughout his ministry. We read these words in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I just want to recommend that everyone, if you're part of this ministry, you're involved here, because you obviously believe that God has a plan and purpose for the Jewish people, especially in these end times. I hope you're not here just because you like the dancing and you think I'm handsome and you just like to see me every week. I know that's part of it, okay? Just kidding. But I don't think that's so funny. But you need to be here because you believe in this ministry. That's why you should be here. I believe God wants to see the lost sheep of Israel, the Jewish people, saved. I believe this is part of end time revival that we're going to see throughout the world. It's important. So I hope this is why you want to be part of this ministry. Now the Davidic dancing, the Messianic music, the holidays, the Moedim, all these things are wonderful. Yes, I enjoy them. I love them. But understand why you're here as well. Because God has called you to a specific ministry to reach out to the sheep, lost sheep of Israel. But Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, he spoke these words in Romans 9, starting in verse 1. And it's important. I recommend that all of you read Romans 9, 10, and 11 if you've never read it before or study that, because this really speaks of these end times in regard to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Romans 9, verse 1 says, through verse 5, I speak the truth in Messiah. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs is the divine glory. Theirs is the covenants, the receiving of the Torah, the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. And from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, Yeshua, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. You know, a lot of people and a lot of churches, there are those who are very supportive of Israel, and there are those who are very opposed and negative toward Israel and the Jewish people. But you can never deny that Yeshua was Jewish and is Jewish. He is. He still is. You can't deny the fact. And to me, it just seems if you're condemning Jewish people in Israel and trying to do harm to them, that you must be hurting his heart. Because the Jewish people, and all of us who are born again, given our life over to Yeshua, we are all daughters and sons of Abraham. We're all one, Jew and Greek, Gentile, together we're one in the Messiah. There's that unity that we have. Now that doesn't mean that there are not Jewish people, and there's still not Gentile people. There's still... We are one in the Messiah. And I'll speak of that next week during Shavuot, as I give an examples and show that with the bread offering that was given. But how can one say, I love Yeshua, but I hate the Jewish people? It just doesn't make sense. The fourth thing is gratitude to the Jewish people. We owe the Jewish people a debt of gratitude for the blessings we've received from them. Through Israel, the promises and the covenants were given, and Yeshua himself, who was a Torah observant Jew, descended from the tribe of Judah. Yeshua said in John 4:22, for salvation is from the Jews. And the Brit Chadashah, New Covenant, is a Jewish covenant made with the Jewish people. And now the other nations can be made partakers of this covenant and part of this family, but in no way does that change God's original covenant in any way whatsoever. We simply cannot properly interpret the message of the new covenant, the Brit Chadashah, without appreciating its radically Jewish character and focus. You can't. The Brit Chadashah is a Jewish book. No matter how you look at it, no matter what you think, it's a Jewish book. Number five, trust in God's faithfulness. God's promise to Israel stands forever. And He will never abandon His people Israel, no more than He would abandon His body, the congregation, the church. He wouldn't abandon. The gifts and the election of God are irrevocable, as it says in Romans 11:29. God revealed the mystery of Israel's temporary fall to Shaul, or the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 11. But this will last only until the fullness, it says, of the Gentiles have come in and have become partakers of the new covenant blessings. But then it says in Romans 11:26, then or that all Israel shall be saved. Now, I believe we have experienced what's known as the fullness of the Gentiles. I believe it has come about because it speaks more of the representation of the faith in Yeshua among all the nations. All the nations of the world have received the good news of Yeshua. And in all the nations of the world, there are believers in Yeshua. So that full representation, I believe, has taken place as the gospel, the good news, has gone out through all the world. I believe as we're getting closer and closer to the end times that we're going to see the fulfillment of Romans 11:26, that all Israel shall be saved. I believe this is God's heart and God's plan. And number six, let's talk about God's or Israel's place in prophecy. God has promised to restore national Israel in the last days. And we are contemporary witnesses to this miracle. We see Israel that was reestablished. We celebrated Yom HaAtzma'ut just in May. We celebrated the birth of the nation of Israel after 2,000 years of the Jewish people being scattered all over the world. We're modern witnesses of God's prophecy being fulfilled with the nation of Israel once again being born again. The Lord declared in Amos chapter 9, verses 14 through 15, Amos 9:14-15, that I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. We see that in Israel today. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. The fact that Israel has been regathered to their ancient homeland after nearly 2,000 years in the diaspora is a sign and a wonder to all the world that speaks of God's faithfulness. This is God's faithfulness that He returned them in fulfillment of the prophecies in His word to Israel. We are now told to comfort God's people in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 2. And the other nations are called to help regather the remnant of the diaspora to their original homeland. And there are many people who help toward this, to help to bring Jewish people back to the land. And it's kind of interesting that all of the, I'd call it some of the Islamic invasion in Europe right now, because Islam is taking over Europe. I mean, completely taking over Europe. France, Germany, Great Britain, a lot of the countries in Europe are getting swarmed from all the refugees coming into Europe. All the mosques being built, all the laws being enacted in all these countries, all the terrorism taking place. You know what it's all doing? It's causing Jewish people to leave and return to Israel. Just in this last year, France, which is experiencing tremendous anti-Semitism, as France has the largest Muslim population of Europe now, and getting more and more Muslim people coming there and persecution, that I believe it was the largest number ever to have left France last year, has left and moved and made Aliyah, gone to Israel. It's tens of thousands of French Jews. Tens of thousands of French Jews are leaving and going to Israel. God is using this persecution to fulfill His prophecy about bringing the Jewish people back to the land. Doesn't matter how God does it, it's working. Now, the problem is we haven't seen that in the United States. We haven't seen, you know, the widespread anti-Semitism in the United States. There's been some. There's been some persecution. There's been, you know, here and there, but not like they've experienced in Europe in the past and what's taking place now. Maybe this is how God is going to bring about the Aliyah, or the movement of the Jewish people from this land. There's millions of Jewish people in America, millions of them. Just in New York City, millions of Jewish people. Get them back to the land. Maybe it needs to be through persecution. But certainly, we all have a part in God's end time plans here. Not to persecute, okay? But to help to return the Jewish people back to the land. The Lord spoke in Isaiah 49, verses 22 through 23, "See, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders." So God is calling the other nations. He's beckoning them to help and be part of the returning of the Jewish people to Israel. And why, again, why is this so important? Because this is going to bring about much of the end time prophecies being fulfilled as we see the Jewish people return to the land of Israel. Israel will also be the focal point at the time of the return of Yeshua. Yeshua is not returning to Brooklyn. Okay? Doesn't matter how many millions of people are there. He is returning to Jerusalem, to Israel, to set up His kingdom. This is going to be the focal point of the world. Isn't it amazing, Israel? If you ever look on the map, it's so small. In fact, if you look at that world map on the back, unless you really know where Israel is, it's so hard to find. You almost need a magnifying glass to find Israel on that map. It's so small. Yet it's become a burden and a boiling pot for the whole world. Everything focuses. The UN spends most of its time condemning Israel. Every year, votes condemning Israel. Dozens every year. You would think that Israel is some mega country with gazillions of people, and it's a little country. Yet the focal point of most of what goes on in the UN is Israel. All the promises made to national Israel in the Tanakh will then be literally fulfilled when Yeshua returns, demonstrating the faithfulness of the Lord God of Israel. And the last thing, the world to come. In the Olam Haba, the world to come, we will all serve a Jewish Lord and worship in a new Jerusalem. There the names of the 12 tribes of Israel are going to be inscribed on the city gates. It says that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 12. And we will enjoy communion with the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Elijah, and Elisha, and all of these patriots and heroes of the faith that talks about in Hebrews 11. We're going to get to meet all of them. That's exciting times to take place. You know, God is faithful to Israel. The Lord has not cast off His original covenant with the people of Israel, and neither should we, if we indeed are those who sincerely love the Jewish Lord and the Mashiach. God's faithfulness to national Israel is a testimony of His faithfulness to you and I as followers of His Son. Should God abandon Israel, and the unconditional promises he made to Israel, what makes any of us think that he would not abandon the church and the promises that he made to us if God is not faithful to Israel and his word? Now, how can we bless Israel? How is it that we can bless Israel? Well, of course, we can pray for Israel and the Jewish people. That should be a regular part of your prayer, by the way. I know you pray for a lot of different things, but the Scripture commands you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How many of you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Oh, it's a lot of hands. That's good. What's wrong with you, Raymond? Your arm broken? I got you there. Okay. You know, we realize economic times are tough for many of us. But that's true in Israel as well. You know, according to government statistics in Israel, there's close to 1.8 million people living under the poverty line in Israel, a nation that only has like 6 million people or so. A good percentage of the people in Israel live under poverty. Approximately 25% of the population of Israel. Why is that? I'll tell you one good reason. Not because God hasn't blessed them, because they have to spend enormous amounts of money on defense. They have to have the best planes, the best tanks, the best artillery, the best drones, the best missile defense systems, because they're surrounded by hostile neighbors who want to destroy them. So they have to spend so much money on defense that they don't have the funds available for social services. Like here, I mean, it's pretty easy here to get food stamps and welfare and a lot of things here. Israel, a lot of people don't have those services. It's difficult. There's a lot of poverty in the land, and they're in constant war and under constant attack, and so much of the money has to go for defending this nation. They live under the ongoing pressures of constant military threats from radical elements in neighboring countries. Iran wants them destroyed. You know, all the time, they're building missiles that they say can reach Israel now, and they say, we're going to shower Israel with missiles and destroy. If they ever come over here and bomb our nuclear reactor, we're going to shower them with missiles. We're going to destroy Israel. Their leaders talk about all the time destroying Israel. Syria has been an enemy of Israel for many, many years. You've got Hezbollah in the north in Lebanon, who once Israel destroyed, and they're building up now, you know, thousands and thousands of missiles and preparing for another attack on Israel. Hamas in the Gaza, again, building up all their missiles and building tunnels to invade and destroy Israel. ISIS wants to destroy Israel. Everybody wants to destroy Israel. Why? It's satanic. That's the plan of the evil one. From the beginning of time, he wanted to see the Jewish people destroyed. And we see that in the story from the book of Purim with Haman. We see it, story dealing with Hanukkah, the Passover, and all of Satan wants the Jewish people destroyed because he believes that will prevent the Messiah from returning. That's why I believe that we have to do whatever we can to be supportive and loving for the Jewish people and nation of Israel. It's a time, I believe, for all Bible-believing followers of the Messiah Yeshua to show unconditional love and unwavering support of Jewish people and the Israeli people. It's important. And we're living in difficult times. And it's not going to get any better. And we're fighting in these last days, you know, Islam is more than just, it's not nations, it's a philosophy. It's a philosophy which is anti-God. It's a philosophy which is demonic, that wants to destroy Israel, the Jewish people, wants to take the world captive. Part of Islam is to conquer the world and make it Islamic. We're fighting here the evil one, not Islam, not the people. We're fighting the devil. So it's important that we show our love, our support, and our prayers, and include this during your times of prayer. And I believe if you support and bless the Jewish people in Israel, God will bless you as well, in fulfillment of his word, that I will bless them that bless you and curse you that curse you, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in the name of Yeshua. Amen. 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 Thank you. Huh? Oh, praise the Lord.